The reading is from Acts chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint to you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." Amen.
Now we come to the thing that brought the changes in me in the morning, but also that's where you saw the flow from the text into the songs. We didn't rearrange them, but also because there's no the old age today, you can see, because of a communion, I didn't want to take you into a 3-hour service, so I had to cut out the old age so that you can at least relax and yeah. It reminded me, that passage, to back some times ago in my personal journey as a Christian. And it all began, I was singing a song in the morning. Of course, there are times that I manage to sing, but I'm not a good singer. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Do you have a story? Do you believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you ever had an encounter with God? Or may I say, why do you come to church? Or why do you do whatever that you do? Be that here at church, or wherever that you may be volunteering. From the story we have read, we see the Apostle Paul is facing opposition, but also he was being persecuted. Why? Not for any other thing, but for what he believed. Religious leaders of the time were happy with Saul doing their errands, persecuting believers, opposing the faith, even to an extent that those believers were stoned to death. They were okay with it. But they would not allow him to talk about his encounter with Christ Jesus, the encounter he had on the way to Damascus. They will not allow that. Like Martin Luther, the German reformer, would later say and believe, the Apostle Paul believed that it was dangerous for one to go against their own conscience. He endured suffering. This story that the Apostle Paul is explaining before King Agrippa, it's the only time so far in the readings of Paul and the scriptures that you find Paul himself speaks about this. It's the only time. The story that we know in Acts chapter 9 of his encounter is written by Luke, the writer of the compiler of the book of Acts. But Paul, it's the only time he doesn't talk about this. But why does he talk about this? I think his faith was a trial. And not only his personal, but the Christian faith was on trial that day before King Agrippa. The question is, do you have a story about your encounter with God? A personal story. One thing is for certain, that people's lives are messed up. And your story, my story, might just be that example which they need. Your story doesn't have to be complicated as that of the Apostle Paul. But like any other couple, as in how they met, each story is different. Yours, your Christian journey, must be different. Paul spoke about his encounter with Christ on the way to Damascus. His story talked about how his life was changed from being a persecutor to a defender of the faith. Your story is what generations, your generation, probably is waiting for. And those around you are eagerly to be inspired by. When I moved to Ndola, Ndola is one of the cities in Zambia where my last church was, I met a former classmate of mine. That classmate of mine knew all my mischief. Every time we met, because he worked with my young brother, so my young brother worked at the hospital, so sometimes we take kids, so I'll bump into him because they worked closely with my young brother. And every time he would express shock that I was a minister. Oh, God. He would express shock. Say, what happened? Because he knew who I was in school. Actually, I even heard from one of my former classmates in high school about how they even wanted to find such a person who preached to me. I was now becoming a minister. They wanted to give them a reward. Why would they want to? Because they were surprised that I had given my life to Christ Jesus. But I want to tell you that I was raised in Sunday school. But in school, in high school, I was something else. The truth of the matter is this. Did I change my life? Or did someone change my life? I'm putting a capital, no, I did not change my life. Neither did someone change my life. But someone shared their story with me, and they became an example and an inspiration for me to follow. God, through the Holy Spirit, reminded me through someone that Christ was born and died for me also. He did not die for them. He died for all of us. He was born for all of us. And that if I believed, my life would never be the same. Anyway, the rest is history. God is still at work today. This is what I believe. You'll have to share that story with someone. It might be about your healing. It might be about your addiction and how you have come out of it. Or maybe are still struggling, but believing God that things will not go back where you were, but you are on a journey to recovery and are doing fine on that. Paul, told his story. Myself, I continue to share my story. But someone out there is waiting for you to share your story. Someone is waiting for you to share your story. It might just be your story that might bring them. They might see something real from a real person. Not all stories about the people that have gone a long time ago, that they find it difficult even to believe that such people existed. Your story is a testimony for a generation and for those around you. I know it's difficult and different, but each one of us has their story. I'll ask you where we are, that we may pray that God, through the Holy Spirit and the season of Christmas, may use your story and our story together to touch a life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We bless you. You never change. You are at work even today. May your name be glorified. Thank you for your children. Thank you for all of us. Thank you that you've given us a story. May you work through us. We believe that your work is that which you do through us. Thank you this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name.